Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part two of a four-part series entitled, Don't Be Nice, and today's specific message is titled, Don't Be Nice, Be Joyful, based off of John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. So let us dive into the Word today. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Amen. So I'm going to start off with a sentence, and I hope that you will complete it for me wherever you are. So, happiness for me is blank. Now really think about it. Really reflect on what makes you happy. Happiness for me is blank. As a teenager, I thought having a girlfriend would make me happy. I was one of those outcast kids that didn't really have many girlfriends, didn't have many friends for that matter. All the while, seemingly everyone around me was dating. If only I could have what they have, if only, I would surely be happy. Also, as a teenager, I thought that being in a goth rock band would make me happy, or a rock band in general, would bring me happiness. Now, as an artist, a singer-songwriter, I could think of nothing greater than writing and recording songs that spoke to countless people and were listened and sung along to by those who connected with it. As a young adult, I thought that being a successful business programmer with a high-paying job, a family that I spent time with when I wasn't traveling for business, and plenty of cash to go on awesome vacations with, would make me happy. And for a time, I made that dream a reality. But it was short-lived. The company I worked for went belly up, and I couldn't find another job anywhere. And I tried. I thought that would make me happy, but when all of those things happened and the company went belly up, that put a damper on my happiness for sure. I have looked toward many things in my search for happiness. Toward my career, toward my spouse and family, toward the arts, such as movies, plays, music, etc. I pursued such things because I believed that they would make me happy. Am I alone here? Do you guys pursue things that you think will make you happy? I mean, surely I am not the only one to seek happiness through external things. I think that's rather a common thing to do. It almost seems like a natural thing to do. You know, we want to have family. We want to have kids. We want to have a nice home, a nice yard. We want to have a nice car. We want to go to see movies and plays and be entertained. We want to eat out at restaurants and have a good meal. Surely, I'm not the only one to seek happiness through external things. I'd imagine we all do that.
And seeking after happiness, after all, is a huge part of the American dream, right? Americans acknowledge that we have the God-given right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of what? Happiness. The pursuit of happiness. I certainly did feel happiness when I pursued those things, no doubt. When I got a job as a business programmer, I definitely felt happy. I was proud of myself. I was traveling around the country to all sorts of conventions. Things were going good. They were going really good. Until I lost my job. Now, I love my wife, and she and my daughters, they do make me happy. But the demands of family can also cause stress and unhappiness as well. Can I say that every moment and every circumstance in my house makes me happy? No. Can anybody say that? No. It just depends on the circumstance, depends on the moment. And we all know this to be true. That's any relationship, that's any marriage, that's any household. That is just reality. I love movies and theater and music, but that happiness is fleeting and lasts as long as the film, the play, or the album that I'm experiencing, or the concert. And of course, you know, sometimes you go to a movie thinking it's going to be really good, and you find out it's not so good, and you don't leave so happy about wasting your time watching it. Happiness is fleeting at best. And what's more, happiness is based on circumstances. When things are good, oh, we're happy. But when they're not, we're unhappy at best. Happiness wears right out. But joy, my friends, joy endures through all circumstances and lasts forever. Throughout the scripture, God has a lot to say on joy and the importance of discovering it. But how can we discover it? How can we attain the kind of everlasting joy that the Bible speaks of? Let's be clear, it cannot be found in material or external things. Not your job, not your car, not your house, not your family, not your entertainment, not your meals out, not vacations. Joy cannot be found or bought by those things. It cannot be acquired in the world or through the things the world offers us. According to John 15, actually, there's one and only one specific way that we can attain joy. According to John 15, it can only be found in Jesus Christ. And those who abide in Jesus and are pruned experience great and everlasting joy. So, what does that mean exactly? Don't you just love those Christianese terms, abiding in Christ and pruning? What is Jesus getting at here in John? Well, to abide means to dwell. In other words, Jesus Christ is your everything. You dwell in Christ, and he dwells in you. It means that you have a symbiotic and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, it means that you have a symbiotic and personal relationship with Christ. And to be pruned means that because of your relationship with Christ, the Holy Spirit removing those parts of you that do not bring glory to God, Things like gossip and slander and envy and anger, a divisive spirit, harsh words, etc. Those things do not bring glory to God. And the Holy Spirit is pruning them from you, removing those things from you, so that what is good about you can grow in abundance and spread like wildfire. To be truly in bloom with the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, as our roots grow deeper in Christ, Christ grows deeper in us. And those things that are not compatible with Christ are removed and fall away. While happiness is based on our circumstances, joy is an assurance of Emmanuel, of God with us. I want to say that again. While happiness is based on our circumstances, joy is an assurance of Emmanuel, of God with us, that comes from abiding in Christ. It comes only from abiding in Christ. It is not based on our circumstances. When things are great, we are joyful. When we are in the lowest, most difficult times of our lives, we are still joyful because Christ is with us. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And without abiding in Christ, we'll never, ever produce it. Without being attached to the vine, we are just a dead and fruitless branch. Now, as we discussed in last week's message, we have mistakenly come to the belief that Christians ought to be nice and we ought to be happy. But that is not a biblical requirement. It's not at all. Nowhere in all of Scripture are you going to see the words, "Thou shalt be nice," or "Be happy." It's the end of your, it's the sole goal of your life. Be happy. No. Today, we are being challenged by God. Don't be nice. Be joyful. Don't be happy. Be joyful. This is your challenge this week. Take steps to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ. And the best way that you can do that, the two best ways that you can do that, are to regularly attend worship in a community where you're worshiping along with others. Be a part of a worshipful, Bible-based community where you can live out your lives in the Christian manner and be supported and encouraged in doing that. Also, begin to read your Bible. Commit to reading a little bit each day, and I want to challenge you to do this. Commit to reading your Bible a little bit each day. If you don't know where to start, talk to somebody, a pastor. Talk to somebody who leads Bible study. Talk to a friend who reads their Bible. Start somewhere. And you can find help for that. But commit to reading a little bit each day of your Bible. Daily devotion will help draw you closer to Jesus and will help to transition you to abide in Him. I can see that God has amazing things planned for you as you root yourselves in God's Word, as you abide in Christ and are filled with joy. Your car, your job, your grades, your vacations, and other things will not bring you joy. They just won't. They'll make you happy, no doubt, but they will not bring you joy. Only Christ can do that. So today I'm inviting you to recommit your life to Christ. In John chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus said, "When you produce much fruit, you are my disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." Whether it is your first time committing to being a disciple or you've committed your life tons of times, I am joyful with you today for doing so. truly joyful. So I'm going to invite you to silently pray, to silently commit to following Christ. And then after a little bit of silence, I will conclude this time in a closing prayer. So let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, even as we have not been faithful to you. Lord, perhaps some of us for the first time are committing to being a disciple of yours, and others of us are recommitting to that. But on both ends of that, Lord, use us, mold us, shape us into who it is you've called us to be, and use us in this world as positive influences in people's lives, influences that bring people to you, that share the joy that you have given us so that they may be filled with joy, and they may be filled with love, and they may be given this divine purpose as well. We thank you for those things and all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, again, thank you for tuning into this message. Again, it was part two of a four-part series entitled Don't Be Nice. And today was Don't Be Nice, Be Joyful. So I hope you will tune into part three, which will be next week. In the meantime, I'd invite you to check out the episode notes, the links. You can certainly support us in various different ways on there. The best and cheapest way you can support us is by going on to whatever platform you listen to us on and rating this podcast. Give it a rating, give it a review, and I will be most appreciative of that. And especially if you do that on iTunes, iTunes podcasts or Apple podcasts, if you rate us and review us, that bumps us up in the listing so that people can find us easier and we become more accessible at that, as a result of that. So if you could do that, that'd be great. If you want to purchase some pretty rockin' Life-Giving Water swag, you can do that on the Life-Giving Water swag store. And I, as always, would like to invite you to go over to the Party on John cast, which you can find at partyonjohn.org, and check out the episodes there. We just recorded this past week with a special guest that I think you're going to really, really find fascinating, and that new episode will drop on August 1st. So there's a lot going on there. Check all those things out, and again, friends, I'd like to remind you that you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.